Good morning. I'm Pastor John Venner, the Congregational Care Pastor here at Rural Redeemer. It's a joy to be with you all in worship this morning. And you can find some resources for worship, including a Go Deeper study guide for today's sermon and a link to the YouVersion event on our ruralredeemer.org website under the worship/live drop-down box. And if you have the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, you can use that to follow along with the scriptures and some of the key points of our message today. My dear friends in Christ, today we continue our six-week sermon series titled The Art of Neighboring. Is this not working? Is that why that moved on? Oh yeah, it's working, I think. So today's message is titled Motive is Everything. In Matthew 5, which is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says in verse 16, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." How do we do that? How do we let our light as Christians shine before our neighbors so that they not only see the good deeds that we are doing in neighboring them, but we also glorify our Father in heaven? Please pray with me. Dear Jesus, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you are saying to us when you say we're to let our light shine before others so that they may see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. And then help us in the power of your Holy Spirit to do that. And it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen. We began this sermon series by looking at what Jesus called the Great Commandment, which he said in Mark 12, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." And the second is like this, "Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." The second part comes from the law given through Moses in Leviticus 19:18, which says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So that's what Jesus was referring back to. That Old Testament lesson which you heard this morning is full of lots of negative do nots, right? Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. But this is a positive. It's describing how God's people are to live. A couple of weeks ago, we heard how an expert in the law who knew this great commandment wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who's my neighbor?" Jesus answered that question by telling the parable of the Good Samaritan, and then turning the man's question around from "who is my neighbor" to "who was the neighbor in the parable." Jesus was saying that it's not so much about having neighbors, but being a good neighbor by our actions. Then Jesus said to the man, "Go and do likewise." So that's the great commandment. We are to love God and to love our neighbors. But there's another command from Jesus that's called great. Just before he ascended back into heaven, which was 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus gave us what is called the Great Commission. In Matthew 28:19-20, he said, "Therefore," and whenever you see a therefore, you always want to look and see what it's there for. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." So the Great Commission is then for us to make disciples of others, to bring them to faith in the Lord, and then help them to grow in their relationship with him. But we can struggle with that commandment, can't we? Many times we just don't feel adequate about sharing our faith. What do we say? How do we say it? What if they reject what we're saying? What if they ask questions that we don't know the answers to? So many times we resist the Holy Spirit's urgings for us to share our faith with others, and we likely miss an opportunity to glorify God and receive a blessing by sharing our faith. Might that be because we're trying to accomplish the Great Commission before we live out the Great Commandment? So our question here then is, what's the relationship between the Great Commandment to love our neighbors and the Great Commission to make disciples? See, if we live out the Great Commandment by loving our neighbors by our actions, an environment is then created where the Great Commission can effectively happen. A simple way to describe that is the relationship when we say, make a friend, be a friend, bring a friend to Christ. The first two steps are about the Great Commandment, making a friend, and then being a friend by our actions. And then the third one is really the Great Commission, bringing a friend to Christ. These are all done, of course, in the power of the Holy Spirit. If we try to obey the Great Commission, making disciples of our neighbors, without living out the Great Commandment, without loving them first, our efforts will not be very effective. It all comes down to motive. Motive is everything. And actually, our motive of loving our neighbors is important in everything that we do as Christians. We heard Paul say in our reading from Galatians chapter 5 this morning, where he is referring to the Great Commandment, he said, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Greek scholars tell us that the phrase that's translated entire law has to do with motive. So loving our neighbors as ourselves is the motive for keeping the entire law, not just the Great Commission. So if we're doing nice things for our neighbor just so we will have an opportunity to have a spiritual conversation with them, they will likely see that we have an ulterior motive and put up a wall. That brings us to our question, how do you react to a conversation with someone who seems to have an ulterior motive? I know how I react. Not good. I don't like high-pressure salespeople, and I'll turn them off immediately, even if I'm interested in the product that they are selling. Even on TV, when those high-pressure sales pitches come on, like maybe the pillow guy, I guess others have heard that too, I press pause so I can then fast-forward through his spiel, because I've heard it probably, 5 minutes before anyway. Any of you do that as well? I do. When it comes to having a conversation about God, chances are that people who say they're not interested or don't believe in God have had at least one negative experience where they felt pressured into having a relationship with Jesus that they weren't ready for. People were telling him, you need to do this. And they're saying, don't tell me what I need to do. So if they sense an ulterior motive in our friendship efforts, they'll put a wall up right away. Our motive in becoming a good neighbor is to obey the Great Commandment, to love them with no strings attached. We're called to love people, period, whether those people ever take any steps toward God or not. The Great Commandment says, love your neighbor as yourself. The commandment ends there. There are no expectations given. Good neighboring is an end in itself. And that's what's needed to accomplish all the law, we're told. As Pastor Ben reminded us last week, becoming a good neighbor begins with getting to know them. We begin those friendships by talking about basic information, like how long have they lived here, where they grew up, what they do for a living, if they're married, if they have kids. Then we get to know them better. Then they may talk about their dreams and their desires or their regrets or fears or losses and pain. It's important that when they share deeper things about themselves, that we are also prepared to share some deeper things about ourselves. And it's in those times that the Holy Spirit will help us share with them our faith story. That phrase sounds really daunting, doesn't it? What's your faith story? Well, it's simply how faith in Jesus has brought you through difficult times in our lives. That's all it is. And this may help them then open to receiving the faith in Jesus the Holy Spirit has for them. Remember, sharing our faith story is telling others how our faith in Jesus makes a difference in our lives, not telling them how much they need him or what they need to do. It's the Holy Spirit who does that part and brings them to faith in Jesus because it's a gift. Faith is a gift from the Spirit. Our job is just to share what our relationship with Jesus means to us. So then ultimately, as those friendships with our neighbors develop, the Holy Spirit will give us opportunities to share our faith story so that he can then use us to make disciples of them. But that's not our primary motive in loving them and being a good neighbor. And if our neighbors choose not to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we should still continue building that friendship with them. It may just be that they aren't ready yet to be open to the Spirit. I remember many years ago I was sharing with some friends how my relationship with Jesus had brought me through some very hard times. I didn't know the answer. I didn't know the end of the storm I was going through, but I believed by faith he was with me. Well, their response was, I guess I've been lucky in my life. I haven't really had hard times like that where I needed God. I said, well, I'm not so sure that you're lucky in that sense. But just remember, when you do go through hard times, and you will, it's not if, it's when, God will be there for you. Just ask him to help you through it, and he will. We continued our friendship, but I don't know if they ever received the gift of faith that the Holy Spirit had for them, since I moved away shortly after that. I do know, however, that after our friendship had developed, the Spirit used me to plant that seed to be used at some time in the future. Remember, God's timing is not ours all the time. But if we drop them as friends because they don't develop a relationship with Jesus when we think they should, it'll just reinforce any suspicions they might have that we had ulterior motives in being friends in the first place. So in the art of neighboring, motive is everything. We don't... Now it's not going to work. There it is. We don't love our neighbors so that they will love Jesus. We love them because we love Jesus, and he gave us the great commandment. But God can use that friendship developed by love to bring them to faith and accomplish the great commission. And I think that's part of what Jesus was saying in Matthew 5:16. I think I should say Mark. Did it say Matthew? Anyway. He said, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That sounds like a process. That first, you need to make friends. You need to allow your light to shine. Do good deeds. Be a neighbor. And then that will glorify your Father in heaven. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Amen.